Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:08 on WCCO, shaping up to be a beautiful weekend, a great weekend to get out in that garden, water those flowers and vegetables that aren't looking so hot these days, and that brown lawn that might not be looking so hot these days as well. We're going to talk all about that with our wonderful University of Minnesota Extension educators. Today, we have Julie Weisenhorn, one of our favorites, of course, and a special guest who I have not met yet, John Trappi, who is, he's kind of our lawn guy, the lawn guru, and the guy who can explain why things maybe aren't looking so great at the moment, some things that we can do to make them better. And John, I think I hear you on the line already. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Laura.
Wonderful. It's so nice to meet you. I look forward to meeting you in person one of these days.
Absolutely. I believe we are currently booked for the state fair.
Wonderful.
In person.
That should be fun. That is so great. And I just want
to
remind folks, too, of the two Saturdays that we will be live out at the Minnesota State Fair at the WCCO radio booth with our Smart Gardens folks, including John Trappi, taking your long questions. Julie Weisenhorn will be out there one Saturday as well, and Mary Meyer, also from University of Minnesota Extension, out there as well. We're going to start with John this morning, though. And, John, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about some of the issues people might be seeing in their lawns right now, just because we're at this point in the summer. You know, early to mid-August sometimes isn't the best for our lawns, but what are you seeing and what should people know that they still have some control over yet this summer?
Yeah, the big thing right now is just, you know, most of the state is still in some form of a drought, and our lawns are certainly reflecting that. So, especially in those unirrigated or unwatered areas. So the big thing right now is if your lawn is really drought stressed, either because of, you know, where you live, the soil, or, you know, whether it's watered or not, the big thing is just try to reduce the amount of stress to it. So if it is drought stressed, it's probably not growing. It probably doesn't need to be mowed. Certainly you don't need to be trying to control weeds right now. And that includes even things like crabgrass. And we can get to that in just a bit. But really, it's just trying to reduce the amount of stress on your lawn right now, just to try to help the plants as they're maybe entering dormancy or coming out of dormancy, just giving them a little bit of a break. And then You know, if you are planning on using your lawn, let's say you've got a barbecue or a party or something, then I would consider watering just to be able to give the plants some moisture so that way they can actually withstand some of that traffic, some of that activity. But otherwise, you know, most lawns are perfectly capable of going several weeks without any kind of supplemental moisture. It's just a matter of reducing the stress during those weeks without that moisture. So it's really just try to reduce the stress or be a little bit of adaptable depending upon how you're using it and adding just a little bit more water at this point.
It's so hard for us to just leave things alone sometimes, isn't it? Where maybe that's the best way to go.
Absolutely. You know, I think nobody likes to see brown plants. But, you know, I think I think that there's a sometimes, you know, there's some value in trying to reduce the amount of water that we're using for our landscapes. And certainly accepting a little bit more brown grass, understanding that just because it's turning brown doesn't mean it's not healthy. It's a perfectly natural response for the plants to enter some form of dormancy to avoid or to basically just survive during that period of reduced moisture.
Okay, good. Julie Weisenhorn, our Master Gardener, retired University of Minnesota Extension educator, is also with us this morning. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. How are you both doing?
We are great. Thanks for popping on this morning. We have a lot of questions already coming into the text line. And we want to tell you folks that if you have a question, lawn or garden related, now's your chance to get it answered by the experts. Call us or text us. The number is the same, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Want to get to the text line here, and this one's most likely for you, Julie. Is there a higher incidence of blossom end rot in beefsteak tomatoes? I have a beefsteak plant and an early girl in the same raised garden. The beefsteak has the blossom end rot on all of the tomatoes. The early girl has none. What do you think?
Well, blossom end rot is a common issue that we have with tomatoes. And by the way, we have an excellent diseases of tomatoes as well as conditions of tomatoes web pages that are on our yard and garden page, so you can follow up with these. But blossom end rot is a lack of calcium, but that does not mean to add calcium to your soil. It has to do with an uneven type of watering. And that's been an issue this year because we've had such dry weather, and it's hard to keep up with that watering. So when we have when we let our plants get really dry, and then we water really heavily to make up for that, and then they get dry and we water heavily, the plant can't take up the calcium, and it becomes an issue. And we see this on blossom end rot. It's mostly on the early fruits. So as the season goes along, you may see less and less of that. So you'll see it mostly on those early fruits that you produced. I don't know why one tomato might be more prevalent, you know, more prone to it than the other, except that just how the plant was cared for. I think it's less common when plants are in soil versus in containers, because containers dry out really quickly. It's hard to keep up with that.
Yeah, for sure. It is 8:15 on WCCO. You're listening to Smart Gardens. Our wonderful experts this morning are Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappe from University of Minnesota Extension. Julie has the flowers and plants. John has the lawn. And we're taking all your questions, 651-461-9226. And Candace, looks like we have a caller on the line, huh?
Shirley from Waseca.
Good morning, Shirley. What's your question?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have two honeyberry bushes that are new to me this spring, and I would like to know how to prepare those for the fall. And do I need to cover them for the winter? They are our new bush.
Those are great fruit plants to grow in a home garden. And the reason why is we often want to grow blueberries, and blueberries require low pH soil to produce well. Honeyberries don't. Honeyberries are really adaptive. In fact, we were just talking about this the other day out at the Foodscape. We have a number of honeyberries there and a really great honeyberry display that's in the Fruitful Way right next door. There's really nothing to do about your honeyberries as far as covering them or protecting them. They're winter hardy. They're early producers. They're also, they have beautiful flowers that are really attractive to the early bees. So they're an all-around terrific plant. What I would do is I would screen them. I would put some fencing around them. I would get some 4 foot tall or 4 foot wide hardware cloth and make a nice loop around them to keep the rabbits out, because they love to munch on those honeyberries. And one thing you do want to do with that is bury the edge of the fencing down into the soil a few inches. So cut kind of a crevice around that. Slide that fencing in there and use a couple of landscape staples to anchor that fencing down. Or you can use poles as well. You could use like bamboo poles as well to hold them in place. So protecting it from animal browsing for the winter. But other than that, I think you're good. I would just make sure you water them well, like with all woody plants into the fall, if we have a dry fall, and you should have a nice crop of honeyberries next year.
Wonderful. Thank you for the call, Shirley. It is 8:17 on Smart Gardens on WCCO Radio. We're taking your calls and texts for Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi with University of Minnesota Extension. The number is 651-461-9226. It's time for a break. When we come back, we're going to hit up John again for a quackgrass question. Stay with us on CCO. And thanks for listening. It's 8:22 on WCCO Radio. I'm Laura Oakes. You're listening to Smart Gardens with our experts from the University of Minnesota Extension, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi today. And John, we're going to put you to work once again with a text question about quackgrass. This person says they have quackgrass near their native plant area. They would like to put a buffer zone between the plants and the quackgrass. Should they have other plants that might resist the quackgrass, mulch, or something else in that space between the native plants and the quackgrass? What would you suggest?
Well, quackgrass is going to be one of the most difficult to manage weeds in the landscape. There's really no... it's one of the challenges with quackgrass is that it spreads by deep, long runners below ground called rhizomes. And it can also spread by seed. So you're correct that trying to create some kind of physical barrier is going to be your best bet for this. But it would have to go down at least a foot, and that may not even be sufficient, because I've personally pulled quackgrass rhizomes below that depth. So, but if you...
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
That's what I would try to do, is have some kind of physical barrier. Most of how quackgrass spreads is by rhizomes. So if you can create some kind of flashing or a barrier between, say, your native plants and where the quackgrass are, to keep it out of that, out of those native plants areas, you might have some luck. Otherwise, hand pulling isn't very effective because oftentimes the plants just break and you're leaving those growing points down in the ground and they just come right back. Otherwise, non-selective herbicides or using some kind of burning are generally just kind of a short-term solution for setting it back. But the physical barrier is a great idea, but it's going to have to go pretty deep down into the soil. At least a foot is what I would think.
All right, good advice. Thank you very much, Texter. Thank you, John. And Candace, looks like we have a caller on the line.
Mary from New Prague.
Good morning, Mary. What's your question?
Good morning. I bought 3 peach trees last spring, and they lived all summer, and they lived through the winter. In the spring, they all budded out and had leaves, and 2 of them died, but they're suckering out a whole bunch of suckers from the bottom. I'm wondering if I should cut most of the suckers off in the spring and maybe keep one, if it would be still good for growing.
Ooh, peach trees. So peaches are tricky to grow in Minnesota because they bloom really early in the season. And often we get a late frost, and that will kill the flowers. So we may still have a tree growing, but they're not terribly productive. I'm guessing that these are grafted. In fact, I'm pretty sure they are, meaning that there's a root system that's been basically attached, and it's grown together with the scion, which is the top. So they come from 2 different trees. And the first 2 trees sound like they weren't winter hardy trees. You don't mention what kind of peaches they are. But they don't, you know, if we have a tough winter, it's hard for peach trees to make it in Minnesota. The third tree that is suckering from the base is actually growing out from the root system. So the top of the tree has died off, perhaps, and it's suckering at the base. And so you could certainly try to keep one sucker, but it's going to be years and years till that sucker is productive, if at all. So you don't know what that root system, what kind of tree, what kind of peach that came from. So you may get a completely different peach tree. And you may get really poor quality fruit. A lot of times the root systems may be specifically selected for the size of the tree to create a dwarfing tree or for disease resistance. And the scion, the top part of the tree that's attached to the root system and grown together with the root system, is maybe selected for the flowering color, as in crab apples, but also for the quality of the fruit. So I guess I would cut my losses and I would get rid of the third tree and kind of hopefully got rid of the 2 trees that died. And I would try to grow something that's maybe a little more winter hardy here in Minnesota.
All right. Thank you for the call, Mary. Thanks, Julie. Back to the text line. Julie, here's a guy, Christopher in Mound, says he's having trouble with container radishes. The plants always seem to grow full and healthy, but they never grow the actual radishes, just red-colored roots that don't get larger. What is going on?
Well, I know Chris.
Okay.
He's a neighbor.
Have you seen his radishes?
I have not, but I have had the same issue with my radishes.
Okay, what's
Chris.
Happening?
So, I think what happens with the radishes, and I wish Laura were on to talk about this because she's the expert in container growing and particularly vegetables. But I think you're getting a lot of nitrogen, so you're producing a lot of foliage. And those radishes, we call them the roots of the plants, are actually, I think, a stem, and that develops under the ground. I think it's probably that there's too much nitrogen in the soil. You might want to try doing some fertilization with something that's got a little higher second number, the phosphorus, and to help to produce that better root system. It could be, too, to try a different kind of radish. Maybe I was trying to grow French breakfast radishes, and they kind of petered out. They weren't very good. They got a lot of foliage on top and not much underground. So try a different kind of radish. There's one, I think, called cherry that we're growing at the Arboretum that looks pretty darn good. It's a small, round, bright red radish. So, so maybe I'll swing by your house and we'll talk about radishes someday.
That's right. Thank you, Christopher, for the question. And do what Julie says, and then we'll see if what she says works, and then she can go over and take a look, and there you have it. All right, another texter, Julie, finding swamp milkweed plants throughout my yard and gardens. I'd like to create an area dedicated to them. Is it possible to move the plants, and when is the optimal time?
You can move those plants. They have very deep tap roots, so you want to go down quite deep to try to get them up. And I would move them in the spring, maybe flag them or mark them in some way right now, so that you remember what they are in the spring, and then move them when they're small. Right, you could move them now. If they're done blooming, that would be optimal. But so you could try moving some now since you have so many, and you could also then note which ones you want to move in the spring. So you could do a kind of a combination, see how it works. They'll survive either way, I'm sure.
All right, very good. Before we take our break, Julie, I wanted to see if you could hit some of the highlights out at the Arb, but not only this weekend, but coming up. We're talking about pumpkins. We're talking about what's the festival this weekend? Kernza Day?
Kernza Harvest Day is today. It starts at 10 o'clock and goes till 2. So Kernza is a new perennial wheat that's been developed right here in Minnesota. It is not our conventional wheat is something that's planted every year. And this is a perennial, meaning that it doesn't need to be replanted. It grows back year after year, and it has incredibly deep and fibrous roots. So it's really great for soil, but it's also a really delicious grain. And if you come out to the Arboretum, you can help to harvest the Kernza that we have. We have a plot out there in our crop walks area. And then you can also taste some products that are made with Kernza in our kitchen there. So, come on out. It's going to be a great day. We have these harvest days. Next week is potatoes. You get to dig potatoes, which is, I think, one of the funner things to do with potatoes. We also have pizza nights on Tuesday nights. And we have a great duo, Sweetbriar, who are playing music for pizza nights. And these are nights that you can pre-purchase one of three, a bunch of different kinds of pizzas or three kinds. You can do that online ahead of time or just come and hear the music. There's a bar set up and then also ice cream from the U of M dairy store. So it's a really fun night. We've had great weather and a lot of fun. It's right out at the farm as well.
What night of the week is pizza night, the next one?
Tuesday.
Okay. Is it every Tuesday for a while?
Every Tuesday till September 1st. That's
wonderful.
Our last night from 5 till 8.
Excellent. It is 8:31 on WCCO. We're taking your calls and questions on our Smart Gardens show with Julie Weisenhorn, John Trappi on the lawn questions today. The number is 651-461-9226. When we come back, we have a sod question. We have a trumpet vine question, and we'll take more. Call us up. It's 8:32 on CCO. 8:37 on CCO. We're taking your questions for Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from University of Minnesota Extension. Lots of texts rolling in, and here's another one for you, John. This texter says, I have new sod, or they put in new sod this spring. I water if we don't get an inch of rain. There is a lot of dead grass in it. Should I rake it or just leave it alone? What do you think?
I would actually just consider leaving it for right now. There's a chance it might just be dormant, but if you are watering it, somewhat periodically, it's probably not going fully dormant. What you could do is just focus on proper fertilization and mowing yet this fall. If there is a really big area where you know that it's not going to fill in from, say, from the living grass beside it, then you could probably spread some seed this fall or winter as a dormant seeding. That's what I would do as opposed to just trying to rake it, because at this point you might just be creating an opening for other weeds to move in and take over. Our lawns aren't really growing so much right now, but they will start growing here in about 3 or 4 weeks, especially if we get some more rain. So I would just try to be patient with that and just focus on proper fertilization mowing this fall.
John, another texter is asking, do you like the product Milorganite? Is that how you say it? Milorganite. Why or why not?
Yeah, Milorganite is just like a lot of other biosolid-based products. So it's made from, that's actually made from the human waste from the Milwaukee area water treatment plants. It is a great fertilizer. Unfortunately, it is a fertilizer that contains phosphorus. And in Minnesota, we have what's called the phosphorus fertilizer law for lawns that restricts when and where phosphorus-containing fertilizers can be applied. And so if you have a soil test report that shows that you have a deficiency in phosphorus in your lawn, you can apply it. Or if you're establishing a new lawn from seed or sod, you can use phosphorus-containing fertilizers. Otherwise, that type of product cannot be used in Minnesota lawns. So despite it being a good product, you may just want to know for sure if you can use it in your lawn or not.
All right. Thank you very much. It is 840 on WCCO. Looks like we have a caller on the line. Candace, who do we have?
Jane from Minneapolis.
Good morning, Jane. What's your question this morning? Hey, Jane, turn down your radio, please. And what's your question? Okay.
She was wondering about her hostas. They're dry. Can she cut them?
Okay.
Oh, they've probably dried up from the heat and excessive humidity and whatnot. So yes, well, she can cut the dead parts off, but leave as much green as you can because there's still a lot of growing season left for those plants, and then water them.
Great. Another question for you, Julie. I have just basic impatience in my window boxes, and all of a sudden the leaves have started turning yellow. What's going on?
Well, impatiens, the general impatiens, impatiens bralloweana, they are they're susceptible to, well, it depends what kind they've got. So there's downy mildew of patients, which affects and can basically, they'll die overnight. I don't think that's what's happening here. I think possibly that they're too wet. Impatiens, even that they have a succulent-type stem, really do not need a ton of water. So feel the soil first, make sure that it's really truly dry in the top few inches, and then water those plants. And do make sure your window boxes are draining properly, that they're not collecting water in the bottom. That could be causing root rot.
Good. All right, another text question. Spirea are done flowering. Should they be trimmed?
If they're done flowering, you can go ahead and trim them. If they, those are summer blooming spirea, so yes, you can trim them now. You can also wait and trim them in the spring, cut them back. And so, yeah, so you can do that now. I would deadhead them maybe, but then I would do a good trim over the winter and the spring when they start to bloom or start to come up.
Super. Lawn question for John. I have 3 big blotchy patches in my front yard of mostly dead grass and 1 even bigger one in the backyard. Someone suggested red thread, and they do have a reddish hue, but when I rake up the dead grass, it's more golden brown. Any thoughts, and could this be a fungus?
It could potentially be a fungus, but red thread typically is not like a patch-forming disease. It's more interspersed throughout your lawn. We've also had a little bit too high of temperatures for it lately. That's not to say I did see quite a bit of red thread in the early part of the summer, say, early to mid-June. There's a chance it could be red thread. I would, and there are some ways of diagnosing it. One thing that it kind of sounds like to me, if it's large patches that turned brown when it was getting dry, it could be creeping bentgrass. So It could be a grass that looks fairly healthy but tends to form patches that is not very drought tolerant that may just be susceptible to the summer stresses. So I think I would look into the creeping bentgrass. You can take some photos and submit them to Ask Extension, and we can take a look at what those photos are. Maybe we can find some signs or even symptoms of those diseases if indeed they're there. Otherwise, we
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
He can help identify those potential unknown or unwanted plants in your lawn. That's Ask Extension on the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. You can follow the links for Ask a Master Gardener and submit the questions there, and we can hopefully help you.
I don't know, John. Anything with the name creeping in its name is never good in our lawns, is it?
Not yet. Maybe someday we're going to have a lawn grass that also has that, but that is a pretty good point, actually.
We do have another caller on the line. Candace, who do we have?
Catherine from Blaine.
Oh, hi, Catherine. How are you this morning?
I am good. How are you? How are you guys?
We are great.
Good.
What is
Thank
your
you.
Question?
Okay, my question. Okay, so I have a beautiful heritage tomato plant. And I've never tried growing tomatoes on my deck before, but this did so well. I was wondering if I can put those plants maybe in the ground next spring and see how they do. Do you know a lot about those, Julie? Do they work really well?
I'm not familiar with a heritage variety, but it sounds like it's an heirloom variety. The plants will not live over the winter. So what you can do is collect the seed from the tomatoes, and you want to pick those out when the tomatoes are ripe. Collect some of the seeds and wash them off. Get that gelatinous coating off of those seeds. That prevents the seeds from sprouting. So you want to, of course, sprout these seeds next year. And then let them dry out on a paper towel just so that they get nice and dry. And then store them in a cool location. That's kind of a cool, dry location. In the spring and around March, you can start those seeds and go ahead and follow our guidelines on starting seeds. It's on our website at extension.umn.edu. It's under the vegetable section. And go ahead and start those seeds, and then you can grow those plants again, the same kind of plant, next year.
Super. Thanks for the call, Catherine. It's 8:46 on WCCO. A lot more questions to get to. We do need to take a break. When we come back, we have a texter asking about their honey locust tree in their front yard. That one, some more grass questions, and some pesky white moths to deal with as well. We'll be back on CCO after this. All right, thanks for hanging with us this morning. It is 8:48 on CCO. I'm Laura Oakes, joined by Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the University of Minnesota Extension, taking your calls and texts on anything yard or garden related, 651-461-9226. Back to the text line, Julie. We have a big, beautiful 30-year-old honey locust in our front yard. Is it okay to trim off some low-hanging branches, or should we wait for a later time?
I think the best time to prune trees in general, if you want to just go by a rule of thumb, is in the winter. And a couple reasons. One is the plant is dormant. Second, the pests that can affect the plant are non-existent. They're also dormant. And it's also easier to see the plant and see the form of the plant than it is when it has a lot of leaves on it. So I would hold off and wait to prune that plant after it gets, you know, November, December, January, February. And do that. And then the plant has a season ahead of it to actually heal up from that wound.
Good. Starting to see those pesky white moths eating holes in my kale and wondering what the best defense against them is. Thank you, Mary from Worthington. What do we think, Julie?
I am going to guess that those are called an imported cabbage worm moth. And these are pretty common. The more mature plants can tolerate some of the holes that they cause, and they're laying their eggs out on those plants, and then the larvae chew the holes in the leaves. And so that's a kind of a common pest that we see. You can spray with BT, Bacillus thuringiensis. You want to get the variety of that is appropriate for caterpillars, and then go ahead and spray those plants so that the caterpillars, when the eggs hatch, anything chewing on that cabbage is going to die from that. So that's what I would recommend for that. Otherwise, again, if they're really large cabbages or kale in this case, they can tolerate some of that damage. And those will go away as the season goes on. And the kale can continue to grow up until a freeze. In fact, it gets sweeter after it freezes a little bit. So,
good to
know. You can keep growing that.
Excellent. Another caller on the line, Candace.
Yes, Gloria from Spicer.
Hi, Gloria. What's your question?
Good morning. I have a sedum around a tree in my yard. It's called the Autumn Joy. And the leaves on it have these pinky blotches all over them. I'm wondering if it's a fungus and what I should treat it with.
Oh, that's a good question. I can't say I've seen that before on Autumn Joy. It's usually a pretty resilient plant. Autumn Joy are the taller sedum. They have sometimes a pink or sometimes a hot pink color if they're the neon variety. It's a really reliable plant, easy to grow in Minnesota. The splotches may be from sunburn. Well, let's see, they're full sun plants, though. I'm trying to mull this out loud here. But it could be from the humidity that we've had. Could be a type of a mildew maybe on those leaves. These are plants that don't need a lot of water, which is another great use of the plants in our landscapes where it's dry. So I think it's going to recover fine. It may not look so hot this year just because we've had an incredibly hot and humid stretch here in July. So it should outgrow those splotches. I think some of the newer growth on it will look okay. And if you have that issue next year, you may want to either replace the plants with some new plants. But I kind of think it's just the conditions that we've had. I don't think it's the plant itself.
Good. Thanks for the call, Gloria. A couple of quickie lawn questions for John from the text line. John, I water my lawn from a lake that has phosphorus. If I was to only fertilize one time per year, when should it be and what blend?
The most important nutrient for lawns is nitrogen that they're not already getting from the soil, that is, or from the air or water. So so nitrogen is the first number on a fertilizer label, say like a 12, 22, 14. The 12 is a 12% nitrogen. So you're going to look for any nitrogen-containing product. Since you're near a lake, I would use something that has both quick and slow-release nitrogen. You can find that on the fertilizer label. It's required to be there by law. So just go and check out the fertilizer labels. We also have a really great webpage on an extension webpage on fertilizing lawns that helps you choose a fertilizer product. But really, any nitrogen-containing product, I just would not use one that has phosphorus. So, but really, there's a number of products out there, something like a 24-0-12 or a 46-0-0 even, or like a 44-0-0 would be some great products to try.
Great. Another texter, John, what is the best time to aerate and overseed your lawn this fall?
Okay, and I realize I didn't answer the timing question on the last one.
Okay.
So September 1 is the ideal time to fertilize for most of Minnesota if you're only going to do it once a year, sometime around Labor Day. So in terms of aerate and overseeding, aeration is best done in the early fall. Sometime when you have adequate moisture. Overseeding, I would actually wait in dormant seed. You know, you might think it's better to time that with the aerification, but we've been having quite a bit of luck in at least some research trials with dormant seeding. That would be, we have a webpage on that as well that walks you through on how to do that. But that would, I would try to time that just because I think you just get a little bit better establishment. It's a little bit more foolproof by seeding it in the winter.
Very good. Question for you, Julie. I have Annabelle hydrangeas that look great in the spring but fall over after a heavy rain or wind. Is there anything I can do to make them stronger and keep them upright?
Well, they could be just getting overgrown, so you might want to do a pruning on those in the spring. And you can also do that this winter before when they're finished blooming, and go ahead and cut them back at that point. The branches may just be kind of weak. They could also be a little too shaded. Those seem to get a little weaker as they're shaded too much. So otherwise, the other option, too, is if you're not comfortable with either of those, is to create some kind of a barrier that holds them up, some kind of a trellising system that doesn't show but can keep those plants up higher.
All right, back to John. Please ask John what he would tell a lakeshore homeowner about their need to keep a perfect suburban lawn. What do we think, John?
I think it's the most important thing for somebody like that is just to make sure that if, let's say, they that they trusted me and that, you know, they would actually listen to my advice. I would suggest just not fertilizing within about 15 feet of the surface water or of the edge of the lake or the pond. So that's the most important thing. We have some research that shows that it's actually important to have some kind of healthy vegetation is better than none, or having exposed bare soil that serves as a buffer to try to filter and slow that water movement down before it hits that surface body of water.
Very good.
They could also put in a buffer.
Yes.
Of native plants.
Love that. Thanks, you guys. You're such a wealth of information. We appreciate it so much. Thank you to our texters and to our callers. Coming up, it's the Home Improvement Show with Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. We're climbing up on your roof. We're going to peek behind that siding, Take your questions for Andy. That's after the news on CCO.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.